From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of October, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll have a very special conversation with Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing. Drew Lerner will help us close out the half hour by talking about the weather forecast. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And we'll take up the cash grain market with Greg Johnson. In Chicago, corn futures were down about a penny to two. And soybeans finished the day about even as well. Wheat futures were up around a nickel for the day. Jackie Vakes at TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, hi there, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, you know what? We're not going to take a look at the marketplace today. Let's not do that because this is the very last time we'll officially talk as it's related to the markets. And I don't want to talk about the markets because you and your husband, Jeffrey, who have been with Total Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson, for how long now?
I just had my 25th anniversary. Jeff's got 21.
Oh, fantastic. Are going to retire at the end of the month. And congratulations, Jackie. Thank you for the service. And congratulations to you and Jeff. And I know you're looking forward to retirement.
I am. You know, it's bittersweet is what it is. I've always loved this job. I love working with the ag community. I consider it to have been just an immense privilege to have had a job like I've had, you know, to be able to work with farmers, to be able to work with you guys at WILL, you know, to do all the different meetings that we've done. It's just, it was more than I could have ever dreamed, to be honest with you. And it'll be hard to let it go, but I know that it's time.
You know, we've had so much fun over the years. I mean, even just the beginning, when you first started to come down for Commodity Week, you and Jeff would drive down. We've never told this story on air before, but you'd get stuck here because it'd snow so much you couldn't get back north to Wisconsin.
That's the truth. Yeah, we did. We had an ice storm. We had... you know, and you kept saying, I think that God is trying to say you belong living here. You don't belong living in Wisconsin. And I tell you what, I couldn't believe how many times it happened. It was just almost unreal.
Yeah, it was really incredible. And you'd been with us doing programming for a while already. And then you've had the Wednesday slot, I don't know, probably for more than a decade. At this point, and thank you for being here for Commodity Week and for all the service on Wednesdays, and for coming out to so very many of our evening events and for the all-day Ag Outlook and all the things that you have done for the radio station and for the programming here and for the farmers that listen to us across Illinois, Indiana, and by podcast across the Midwest and the planet. We do appreciate all of that. Any advice for producers as you think about overall what it is that they have to manage and the risks that they have that you think is really important as we say our final goodbyes on this last Wednesday with you?
Well, I tell you, you know, I think when I think back, Todd, you know, I started working with WILL 24 years ago. And I think about how much has changed in that amount of time. But the one thing that's never changed, and that is the need to manage your risk. And, you know, right now there's such a there's been so much money that's come out from the pandemic that people have not had to do as much risk management as they had in the past. The prices have been really good, and therefore, you know, we become comfortable. And I think the thing that we have to always remember is that things can change so rapidly that what you don't want to be doing is you don't want to be looking back and saying, why didn't I do that? And especially when you have the ability to use all the different tools that there are, and there's so many people who are so very good at it, helping you learn, helping you to understand, helping you use them. I just think that you can never forget that. And I don't believe that no matter if you're talking to somebody 10 years from now, Todd, that it's going to be any different. It's always going to be looking at what your risk is. You know, it's so easy in agriculture to hide You know, you've got so much work to do when it comes to harvesting, when it comes to planting, when it comes to everything, that it's just really too easy at times to be able to say, well, I'll take care of that later. And in these markets, later can be way too much later. And so I would have to encourage people, make marketing first, put marketing right up there with, you know, buying seed, buying fertilizer, GPS programs, all of those kinds of things. It needs to be there because, as you know, as time goes on, we're going to see, you know, probably more consolidation. We're going to see, we're in a world market that we already know, and the world is in flux. And so, you know, we're not just the United States, we're the world. And therefore, we've got to really stay on top of what's going on. So I think in general, the basic principles are the same, you know, and that is manage your risk. Find a way to manage your risk. If you don't want to deal with the markets yourself, find a managed program that'll do it for you. But please manage your risk. You know, the greatest satisfaction that I have, Todd, from all of these years that I've been in agriculture is having had the opportunity to work with the farmers, to work with the producers, the end users, the people who care, and the people who work their heart out a lot of times and are not appreciated the way they should be. And what I don't want to see is I want them to be able to hand that on to their kids. And in the environment that we're in, we don't have the government support we did when I was a kid and my dad was a farmer. So you got to take the bull by the horns and do it yourself.
Good advice. Hey, what are you and Jeff going to do in retirement?
Well, we're not going to, like so many people, you know, they want to travel everywhere all over the world. That's not us. In our retirement, what we're going to do is, well, we are remodeling the fifth house that we have remodeled, and this is going to be our last one, I can guarantee it. And we are going to travel to see family and friends. So many of you who listen will see us at some point in time. You know, it's something that we want to do, and we haven't had the opportunity to do necessarily with the job the way it is. We're going to fish. Jeff loves to hunt, and I'm looking forward to ice fishing. You know, we are up here in northern Wisconsin, and I haven't ice fished for years and years, but it was one of the things I really, really enjoyed. So I'm certain, living where we are, I'll have that opportunity.
Hey, folks probably are interested. They know that you were in Champaign County. You were in Hollister, Missouri. Originally, you were from that West Bend, Wisconsin area, but you're a long ways up there north now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we're about 2.5 hours north of where we grew up and in an area that Jeff grew up doing a lot of hunting in and everything else. And on a small lake, we both like to fish and enjoy the outdoors, so that's what we'll be doing. Plus, I love to cook and sew and can and do all those things that people probably don't realize I like to do. But for me, that's relaxation. Okay, that's how I would relax from the market. So I would be making jam. I would be making tomato juice. I would be making applesauce, you know. And even if we didn't eat most of it, we gave a lot of it away, it was still a wonderful thing to do. And I look forward to doing that, too, in the future.
As a frequent recipient of all of those things, thank you. And thank you so much. Thank you very, very much for the time that you have spent with us here at WILL each and every Wednesday and on the air for such a long time. I do appreciate that. And congratulations to you and Jeff.
Thank you very much. And I just to let everybody know, our plan is to be at the Beef House next March to be able to say goodbye to more people in person.
So that's Tuesday, the 7th day of March, 2023. Put it on your calendar. You can say goodbye to Jackie Vakes there or happy retirement and see how she's doing. Thank you, Jackie, again, for all the time you've spent with us here at Illinois Public Media. Let's check the cash grain segment now with Greg Johnson. He is with Total Grain Marketing, TGM, from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thanks much. Farmers been busy the last couple of weeks. I know they have. And how much slower is it today for you after the rainfall?
Well, it's slower outside, but now we're getting caught up on paperwork as they're trying to get bushels applied to contracts and find out how much overrun they have and what they want to do with it. So it's actually been pretty busy. until the farmers get back out in the field, and we anticipate them getting back out tomorrow. But we're doing the paperwork shuffle today, getting everything lined up. So it's actually pretty busy inside the office, even though the tractors aren't going to be moving till tomorrow, probably.
What happened at the CME group during the day today?
It's really kind of quiet. The dollar's weaker, and that's helping out soybeans quite a bit. But we are starting to see elevators fill up, and basis levels are starting to weaken a little bit. We made a lot of harvest progress last week with no rain. 20% of the beans got harvested in Illinois, and over 20% of the beans in Illinois, and that's a lot for 1 week. The anticipation is that now that we're about two-thirds done with corn, or getting close to that number, and almost done with beans, space is starting to get tight. Railroad performance is still not very good, so elevators that are waiting on trains are getting filled up, waiting for those trains to show up. So a combination of fast harvest and slow rail movement is pressuring the basis a little bit here in the short run.
Any relief from the Mississippi River side or expectation after the rainfall that came mostly in the basin?
Yeah, you know, 1 to 2 inches will help, obviously, but it's been so dry for so many months. I think we're going to need more rain than that to get the river levels up. But obviously, you have to walk before you can run. And so we'll take the 1 to 2 inches as a start. But we certainly need more to get the river levels to where they were.
What are your expectations going forward for the next week to 2 weeks?
The corn market has some support under the yields outside of Illinois. Have been on the lower side, on disappointing side. There's no question that Illinois yields are much, much better than expected. But other than Illinois, the yields are kind of a mixed bag. Even in Iowa, there's good corn, but not so good corn. Higher input costs, the fact that China may be coming back into the market, the fact that South America likes to plant beans instead of corn, all that makes me think that the corn market might be ready for a post-harvest rally. It certainly feels like farmers with higher input costs feel like they need more of a higher price for corn to justify the expense. So given all that, it feels like maybe there's a little bit of upside in the corn market, maybe not as much in the bean market unless we start to see, you know, weather problems out of South America.
Any concern from the consumption side for corn? It appears not yet, either from the livestock sector or from ethanol.
I'm always concerned about ethanol because it's directly related to how many miles we drive and how much gasoline is consumed. So there's always that concern. The dollar weakening helps out a little bit. It makes corn cheaper overseas. But there's no doubt that the demand numbers probably will need to come down in the next USDA report. The only question is, will the supply be reduced as well to offset that reduction in demand?
Anything else in the marketplace we ought to take up for the day?
No, I'm just, as we finish up harvest, I encourage farmers to look ahead and make sure you have space reserved, basis levels locked in. Typically, with plenty of space available, the basis doesn't have to get a whole lot worse, but it feels like this year with the poor railroad performance that space could be at a premium. And so make sure you have plans to get that last little bit of harvest moved into the elevators.
Hey, thank you very much, and I appreciate you taking the time with me today. Any final word from you?
Yeah, I would just like to congratulate Jackie Vakes on her retirement. We're going to be missing a great analyst, and whoever takes her place is going to have big shoes to fill, but hopefully you can find someone to take her place. But she's been a definite asset to WILL over the years, and we're going to miss her.
Hey, thank you so much. We will indeed. That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com. We're joined now by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across the planet. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. It's a beautiful day here. I hope it is there as well.
It is a fantastic day. And I made note, my wife didn't think this was the case exactly, but yesterday was just a beautiful rainy day in the Midwest. I thought it was awfully comfortable out, and the rain was soft and came, and a lot of it will have soaked in. I think producers will like that, and may make a difference with the Mississippi River. Can you tell me about the rain and how widespread it was?
Yeah, actually, it was focused on just the central part of the Midwest, you know, and I'm over here in Kansas City, and we too have exactly what you described. It was a wonderful, wonderful little rain event. So badly needed. We've been brown as all get out for a very long time. I don't think we've had an inch of rain before or since June, something or other. So it was great. Everybody was dancing in the streets here. I know what you're talking about. And there's a lot of farmers there between here and where you are and on into Indiana that probably rejoiced a bit too. It was a little dry. Now, it did disrupt the harvest, of course, but it was only a brief event, and this, I think, will outweigh any of the detriment. We saw 1 to 2 and about 2.4 inches of rain occur broadly across a big part of Illinois and northwestern Indiana back into the heart of Missouri. The best rains or the greatest rains were actually in the Ozarks and the mountainous areas of southern Missouri. Saw more than 3 inches occurring down that way. And you're right. The runoff was certainly helpful. But when you stop and you look at some of the data from the National Weather Service regarding the rivers, it's not as great as it may seem. We were so dry that a lot of that moisture is going right into the ground and staying there. And follow-up precipitation is a must if we want to really make a difference on the rivers. Yes, there will be a short-term improvement in river levels. But as far as fixing the barge freight rates, I don't think that's going to do a whole lot, maybe a little bit. But the rivers are only going to be up for a short period of time, go right back down again, unless there's a follow-up system. And we do have an opportunity for a little rain to evolve in parts of Oklahoma and Texas tomorrow into Friday. And that system's supposed to roll right into the Delta and maybe skirt through a part of the lower Ohio River Valley and certainly Tennessee River Basin area. So those areas may also get another inch of rain. Again, not enough for a big difference, but a step in the right direction.
It should across the hard red winter wheat growing regions and the soft red winter wheat growing regions primary help, I would think, that crop as it goes into the fall and getting planted.
That's true for some places in hard red winter wheat country, but not all. A big part of central and western Kansas was missed by this week's rain, as well as eastern Colorado and Nebraska. And now some of those areas picked up a little rain in the previous week, but it was much more sporadic and light relative to this event that took place here this week. Oklahoma, though, came in as the big winner. They had another 1 to 2 inches of rain and some locally greater amounts. That was on top of rain of similar amounts that occurred in the previous week. So Oklahoma is doing much better away from the panhandle. Now, the Oklahoma and the northern Texas panhandle, like Kansas, Colorado, and Nebraska, are still hurting from moisture. So we did benefit some of that crop out there, but there's certainly a need for much more moisture in part of the Central Plains.
I take it this is just a pause in the harvest progress across the Corn Belt and not a complete stop.
That's right. That's right. We'll go back into some drier weather immediately. Really, we're already starting it today. The next weather system of size may hold off until the latter part of next week. We'll have a couple little wimpy things, but nothing major.
In South America, what are you watching?
Interesting weather in Argentina. In the last 24 hours, we did a real nice job in bringing some badly needed moisture into the heart of that country. The moisture totals range from 0.5 to 1.5 inches in general. There were some local totals that reached upwards to, I believe it was 3 1/3 inches in a very narrow band coming out of southern Cordoba into interior western parts of Buenos Aires. And Argentina has been in a bad drought for a very long period of time. And this was really nice rain. It will help the early corn and sunseed to try to get up and better established than it has. The winter wheat crop is advanced rather significantly. So I'm not quite sure that it's going to be a lot of use to the northern part of the precipitation area, but it certainly will be helpful. The southern crop, though, is much more immature and will benefit greatly from it. Now, there's not a lot of follow-up rain. We'll have some lingering rain today in the eastern part of Argentina and a little frontal system coming through this weekend that will actually be fairly strong. It will bring some additional rain to the easternmost parts of the country. But after that, probably looking at a dry bias for a good week to maybe 10 days again. So this is also a temporary blimp. But anyway, a temporary disruption to the overall pattern.
In Brazil, things are okay?
Brazil, yes. A nice pattern of alternating periods of rain and sunshine is going to prevail over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Now, we have had a little bit of a lack of moisture in eastern parts of Mato Grosso into Goiás and from there into the northeast part of Brazil, including Tocantins and Bahia and Minas Gerais. And these areas do need greater rain. Supposedly, over the next week to 10 days, we will see timely rainfall in all of those areas. And we're betting on that. So we're going to assume that everything's going to be okay. But if for some reason they miss some of that moisture, there may be some chatter down the road that it's a little bit too dry in some of those areas. But as far as I am concerned, I think the situation looks really quite favorable right now.
Because we've talked about wheat so much already today, or the growing regions in North America and South America, maybe we should check in on the Australian wheat crop. It had been pretty wet, although it was a really good crop. How are things going as they head into harvest?
Yeah, it's been really too wet in the last few weeks in the east. A lot of quality issues, delays in harvesting. The one thing that's been dominating eastern Australia has been a cool bias. And that has helped to keep the crop a little more mature. So the wet weather diseases isn't quite as bad as it might have been. But the crop is also behind in its development. And so we're only harvesting a small bit of the crop in Queensland at this point in time. That's kind of the northeast part of their production area. The rest of the harvest is going to be a little slow coming around, and I'm afraid that the pattern for wet biased conditions will return. We're in the middle of a break at the moment, and I think that break will last for maybe a week, week and a half, and then we'll get back into some more rain. So we're going to have some more harvest concerns and crop quality concerns in eastern Australia. There will also be some chilly weather in Western Australia, but at the moment it doesn't look very threatening. We are going to watch it closely. A little patchy frost maybe in the west, but I don't look for any kind of hard freeze. And on that subject matter, let me take you back to Argentina just for a quick minute. I know we don't have much time, but in Argentina, Sunday and Monday, we will get very cold temperatures occurring across their country. And that may bring on some frost and freezes well into the crop country. It's one thing to have frost and freezes in southeastern Argentina this time of the year. Especially recently, that's not a big deal because we've had that already. But central areas have been frost-free for a while. And there's a potential that there could be a freeze in Santa Fe and parts of Cordoba and Entre Rios. And that could prove to be damaging not only to some of the winter crops, but also to early corn and sunseed. So we'll be watching that. That's Sunday and Monday.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, or more importantly, look up farmassetsconference.com. Actually, at either website, you can find details and register for the upcoming November the 21st, the Monday of Thanksgiving week, Farm Assets Conference at the I Hotel. The cost is just $80, and we have a stellar day planned for you. You won't want to miss it. Make sure you get your tickets right now. You can buy those. Get yourself registered online at willag.org or at farmassetsconference.com. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.